Well, what if that enemy is something that you're faced with every single day, that temptation that seems to be around every corner? So many people have a story where they have struggled with addiction, with alcohol specifically is what we're talking about in this case, but addiction in any form can consume your life. So whether it's your own personal story or whether it's someone that you know, that you're close to, share yours, 780-496-0063. You can remain anonymous on the text line if you choose. We're talking about this because we are celebrating a big milestone today on 630 Chad Mornings. Our show producer, Brad Whisker, is celebrating 365 days of sobriety today. And Brad, you're getting a lot of love from Chad Nation. Someone's saying, I don't know this guy personally, but I'm proud of him. It's amazing that he's gotten this far. Good for him. And it is good for you, Brad, but yeah. I'm sure kind of a strange feeling that must feel, you know, kind of like an overwhelm of a ton of emotions all at once.
Yeah, I mean, when you're like 21, you don't think one day that you're going to wake up and go, oh my God, I'm a year sober. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just starting your adult life and you're having fun. And of course, you know, when I was around that age, it was just that. It was to go out and have fun, go to patios in the summer and just enjoy that those casual drinks with friends.
You touch on something there that I think is something that we've just accepted as normal in our society. And I don't know that I think taking a step back and looking at it a little more carefully is important because alcohol is so normalized. Like, our whole culture revolves around it. Like, you're talking about being 21, and what do? You get together with the boys, and you've got beers, and you sit on a patio, and you have drinks, or you're going to college. Well, partying is a rite of passage. Or, like, I think about being a new mom and the way that wine is marketed to women, and it's so normalized. How do you overcome something that it seems like you're kind of faced with and confronted with all the time?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that boils down to everybody having their own path when it comes to recovering. Like, it is overwhelming in the sense of the culture of drinking that you talk about. So it is everywhere. But, you know, I went about it my way, and the person next to me will go about it a different way. It's all on you and how you want to do it. Don't think you have to do X, Y, and Z to recover. Like, there's not a set plan. Right? You have to just do what's right for you, and you learn as you go. Don't think that you're going to start and just go, okay, I have this, you know, 10-step plan. I need to accomplish this by this date and this by that date, etc. You have to truly take it one day at a time and just try to focus and get through it with methods that work for you.
And along that line, if there are some people, they do need that sort of regimented system, fine. Absolutely. Whatever works for you, whatever is going to get you from point A to point B, and then C, and then D, and then E, and then F. I'm still curious. You were talking about the fun stuff, right? And I think a lot of us can identify with that when you're a youth. So is there any way to try and identify when it went from, I like it because it's fun, to, I need this?
You know, I would say it's about a 10-year process from when it started to where we are today. In 2012, I was 24. I was in a serious relationship with a woman. We moved to Grand Prairie. So I was born and raised in Ottawa. I'm going from, you know, the big city to the small city. The tallest building up there was like 4 stories high. So a big life adjustment there and really, you know, living on my own. I'm out of the house. I'm away from family. I'm away from the friends I grew up with. So after a year, we broke up, and then I ended up moving to Red Deer, and I had some things happening there in terms of my personal life. I started dealing with anxiety, a little bit of depression, and I started having drinks in the evening. And this is where it really started to manifest itself, is having a few drinks in the evening, and then those are just, you know, a couple of beers. And then those couple of beers over time changes to, for me, let's say a Mickey a day. So about, you know, 13 shots and a day, which is, you know, it's a lot. It is. But like, I mean, that's nothing compared to where I got. I mean, if we go back to August 25th, I was drinking excessively. We're talking anywhere from, you know, a 26er to upwards of a 40 a day.
So Brad. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was so bad that, you know, if I woke up in the middle of the night, let's say it was 1 o'clock in the morning, I would drink to fall back asleep. if it was continuous, it was to live. The liquor store opened at 10, so the next morning I'm just waiting for 10 o'clock. That's the next goal. Get to 10. Go get a bottle. Make sure I have enough for the following day. It's a continuous, vicious, ugly cycle. And when you're at home and you have nobody with you and nobody can see what you're doing, and with the pandemic, you know, having to stay home, or at least feeling like you had to stay home, that's how bad it got. I would consider myself as about of an extreme alcoholic as you can become.
So when you're talking about that situation, you're waking up in the middle of the night drinking to fall back asleep. Obviously, like, in your own mind, you know it's out of hand. You know that it's a problem. But does it then just kind of become this cycle where then you wake up and you're mad at yourself, and then the guilt drives you to drink more, and it's just sort of like this endless loop? Like, did you think you were ever going to get out of that mindset?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, when you're that drunk, your mood changes, I mean, dozens and dozens of times throughout the day. It can just turn on a dime, but it never got ugly and angry, but it was sadness and that, mm-hmm. that guilt, and just knowing how ugly and really disgusting my life was on a day-to-day basis. But I had no motivation. Nothing had happened to me yet where I thought, I can't live like this anymore. So I needed that moment that happened a year ago, or I honestly think I would have kept going, because if that moment is the big reason why I went, if you take that out of the equation, I don't know what I'm doing right now.
I'm curious, how do you hide that? Like, how do you, you know, we right? Because if you are a 40-pounder in a day, you'd never be sober. How do you not get caught? How do you not have something show up on the radar for people?
You get good at it. I'm not trying to sound smart. I'm not trying to sound cool, so to say.
We've heard this. People find coping ways to hide it all the time.
You just figure it out. You become so convinced and so assuring. You reassure yourself that you're okay and that nobody is noticing. And if nobody says anything to you, then just keep going. And again, being at home with no eyes, it really isn't that hard. But, you know, it's... there's these little things that happen, or at least happened to me, where I would try to put a bottle in another room just so I would have to walk and go get it, right? Like, not put it beside me, but that wouldn't do anything. So you think you're kind of fooling yourself, or you're trying to fool yourself by like saying, oh, well, the booze is in the other room, it's not that bad today. Well, when you're getting up off your couch every 10 minutes to go, mm-hmm. to go have a drink, it's not exactly the most effective method.
And maybe you're hiding the really dark details of what's going on, but people see that there's something. If you're listening to this and you're in a situation where you are really in the thick of it, and you're doing things like that, and you're putting a bottle far away from you so that it's trying to diminish your urge to drink it, and you're really struggling, it's not as conspicuous as you might think.
No, it's not. I'm just thankful of that I managed to get through it. You know, that's what I'm trying to look at now. And, you know, I'm still here. I'm still working with you guys. I still have a roof over my head. I still have a car. You know, it's when you come out of it and you start thinking about those things. I mean, I could have done some horrible things with how much I was drinking. Yeah. And it's not, I'm not proud. I'm not trying to show off. Like, I drank so much and didn't do anything stupid. That's not the point. I'm so thankful, because something so bad could have happened to someone or myself. And you hear stories about people who make mistakes. And I'm so happy that I didn't inflict that kind of pain on anyone.
It's important on a one-year anniversary like this to look back at the year, be proud of the accomplishment, recognize what the challenges were, how you overcame them, because that can be lessons learned for the next little while down the road. But we got a message in on the text line, because, again, it's you know, you get to the anniversary, that's a mark. Like you said, now the 2, 3, etc. But he says, congrats, Brad. My brother has fallen 5 times, and his falls, as in falling off the wagon, falls all occurred because he thought he had conquered it. As you get to this, you can celebrate, you can be proud, you can look forward with optimism, but this never goes away, does it? Like, maybe the battle gets more comfortable, maybe a little easier. I don't even want to use those words, but it doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away. People always have a hard time referring to people, you know, to alcoholics or addicts, and you're always an addict. Once you're an addict, you're an addict. Like you have to remind yourself that if you have a sip or if you're doing drugs or whatever it is, that next taste, whatever it may be, it can change your life on a dime. I know for a fact that if somebody walked in here and forced, you know, a shot of whiskey down my throat, that I wouldn't be able to function the rest of the day unless I kept, like, I would need to go get some. Mm-hmm. I would need to go right away. So don't ever think that it's just over. This is going to be something that lives with you until you go.
And I think that's a good, it's a good thing to recognize and to remember that it doesn't discriminate, and it's a disease. It's a mental obsession. One texter says that this is a mental obsession, and they go on to explain their own sobriety. They say, great work, Brad. So congratulations, one day at a time. That's all we can do. They say, I'm just over 4 years of sobriety, and I'm a police officer, and addiction has no boundaries.
No, it doesn't. And I know we're getting close to the end of the segment here. So
hey, we watch the clock. You just do the talking, producer.
I just want to say to people, you know, keep your people close if you're, you know, going through something. And often it's said, you know, just tell somebody, just talk to somebody. And it sounds so easy, but it is so overwhelming. It feels, you feel the guilt. You feel like you've done something bad. You feel like you've upset people, and maybe you have. But your mom, your dad, your family, your significant other, whoever it may be, like, they're there for you. Mm-hmm. And they will listen. You know, for me, like, I did find someone that's just been a fantastic partner. And those people are going to help you. Don't push them away. Accept them for who they are, and they will help you. And I can't remind people enough that, you know, the people that you love and that you call your best friends, that's what they're there for. And I'm lucky to have, you know, the network I have, and that's including you guys here. Every one of you. I couldn't have done this, you know, the right way and had you guys in my corner, especially when I came back to work. It's been a hell of a year, and thank you so much for this opportunity. And to anybody going through this, just try and talk to somebody. It may not be today, tomorrow, it may take a month or whatever it is, but do it and just try to find the help, because you'll feel so much better.
Brad, you are helping people with your story, and this day is all about celebrating you, and we are so proud to see your absolute transformation. So nothing but huge congratulations and lots of love to you. You can keep sending in your stories, Chet Nation, because you're getting all kinds of congratulations and a lot of people coming from very similar places, Brad, saying this really helps. I've gone through something really similar. So you're not alone in this, and this story absolutely helps.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, guys.
Let's take a break. Back in a moment.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.